country, and that is the reason that we can celebrate this new year, 2021. No matter what happens, even if we had double of what 2020 has been, no matter what comes our way, we have the victory in Jesus' name, right? So we get to celebrate. Tonight, my title is called School of Ministry. You're probably wondering why you got these, and you were thinking it was for the video, but it's not. It's going to be used here in a little bit. And then don't forget your bag of dirt mud, because that's going to be used at the end there. My title tonight is called School of Ministry. School of Ministry, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Whoa, that's not it. There it is. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This is Proverbs 29:18. Now I want to read it in two different translations. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. So as we started this year, as we actually ended last year, 2020, God put on my heart that series that was called Unfiltered. And he put on my heart because how many of us have seen and realized that sometimes we miss God's voice? That how many of us, life is good, life is great, life is awesome, all of those things, right? But sometimes, just because life is good doesn't mean that we're enjoying his best. And God is a good, good father, right? How many of us know that God is a good, good father, and he has his best for his kids? And so sometimes we miss out on his best because sometimes we settle for good. And so we talked about in the Unfiltered series, learning how to remove the filters that the world and that we ourselves built in our brains and our hearts and our minds and our souls, and those stop us from hearing God's voice. So in 2021, it's going to be about seeing. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you see well? Do you see well? Proverbs 29:18. That first verse that we read, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, and that word vision means divine guidance. How many of us know that we need divine guidance? Divine guidance. How many of us could use some redemptive revelation? Divine guidance, redemptive revelation. So turning into 2021, this is the number one thing, like Phil talked about, is seeking God. We need to have vision. We need to see things before they happen as Christians. The church is called the Church of Jesus Christ, right? The Bride of Jesus Christ. And it is our job and our duty to carry the torch. We should be at the front of the lines. We should be the ones out there marching in the streets, making a lot of noise, going crazy, doing cartwheels, throwing rainbows, unicorns, all that fun stuff in the streets, right? We are the ones who need to make some noise because of what God's done. Vision, divine guidance, redemptive revelation. And so tonight, my main scripture is actually in John chapter 9. And to kind of illustrate vision for the start of the year, John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, or that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begged him, ask, is this the same man who used to sit and used to beg? Someone claimed that he was. Others said, no, it only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus. He made some mud. And your neighbor said, made mud. And he put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, they said. I don't know. You know, it's funny, as they started the story, the Pharisees, they always have interesting things to say, but they came to Jesus and they said, was this man born blind for a reason? You know, the sad, crazy thing about this is they actually believed that a baby in the womb could sin. That is just absolutely crazy to me. I mean, you're thinking, you know, maybe the baby in the womb, maybe it's getting tired of mom, you know, maybe it's jerking on the cord too hard, and, you know, mom, you're not feeding me good stuff, mom, give me something better, give me some chocolate ice cream. You know, what in the heck is the baby, how is that baby going to sin? But men actually believe that the blind people and deaf people and paralyzed people, they're born that way because they sinned in mom's womb. Or they believe it's mom and dad's fault. And now there's a lot of people in our world, right? There is a lot of people in the world. They say, you know what? I am who I am, and this is how I am, because it's their fault. If you think I'm wacky, it's my dad's fault or my mom's fault, or, you know, there's kids and there's even grown adults who still today blame the way that they are on their parents. Now, I do have to say that there are things that parents pass down, right, to their kids. Some are good, some are not good. But in this story, they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, is he born blind for a reason? Was he born blind for a reason? Was it his sin, his parents' sin? And the other thing that it points out is, you know, there's always someone that's got to go to a negative point in a story. They're trying to bring up the dirt in this man's life, right? They're trying to say, this guy, he's got issues because he's a sinner, right? The Pharisees, we love those lovely Pharisees because instantly, in one second, it's so easy to take someone and to put them down to try and prove a point. But Jesus said, listen, it wasn't his sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. Maybe it's your sin. No. He said, he was blind for a reason. And he was born blind for a reason so that the glory of God could be revealed. And you have to take a step back to say, man, that really stinks. Right? I mean, to think, we don't know how old this man was, but he was born blind and had to live blind and had to live as a blind beggar for this moment. For this moment, all of the time that he waited, he was blind and a beggar and homeless and carried and held, all of those things just for this moment. And so there's times in life we have to remind ourselves when life is not perfect, when life isn't going the way that we expect it, when 2020, you know, thank God it is over, right? We're into 2021. When life is not going, we have to step back and say, maybe there's a reason for this. Maybe the hardship, maybe the pain, maybe the sickness, maybe this, maybe that. Maybe God has allowed it for a reason. Maybe God wants his glory to be revealed. Maybe at the end of this, there's going to be a massive, great miracle. Something big is going to happen just around the corner. But there was pain and suffering for this man. And I can't imagine, you know, being born blind and not being able to see. You know, I know most of us in this room, we enjoy seeing. We enjoy being able to drive down the road and, you know, whether we want to run people over or not run them over, it's our choice, right? If we see you or not, it doesn't matter, you know? We're driving, having fun, playing pole position. Especially in heaven. You never know what's going to happen in heaven. But you know what I did see yesterday? That was this morning. Hemet is heaven bumper sticker. I haven't seen one for a long time. They are still out there. Yes, they are. Me and Jack saw it on the way to get water today. So that is exciting. So it's still true. Hemet is heaven. They might have been. I wasn't paying attention. It was an older car. Yes. But it was there. Blind for a reason. Could we be happy if God inflicted something or allowed something that in our life we said, you know what, I don't like this. God's saying, hold on, you need to accept what I've given to you because of about what I'm about to do. Can you accept? Can we accept and have a good attitude? Can we accept the dry seasons in life? Can we accept of course we like the rainy seasons, and when I mean rain and fruitful and harvest and all that good stuff, but can we also accept the dry seasons in life and be happy and have a good attitude about the dry seasons in life? Can we be happy when things are just not right? Because this man was born blind for a reason. And Jesus turns to him and says, you know, as long as it's day, talking to the disciples, we have to do good works. We have to do good things. Matthew 10:26 says, don't be afraid of those who threaten you. The time is coming that everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ears, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Doesn't that sound like fun for us who like to shout? Jesus said, go to your roof and start shouting, start screaming. And then he says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, because they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul, body, and hell. Jesus said, while it is light out, you have to be committed to doing good works. Matthew 5:13 says, you're the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it loses its flavor? You can't make it salty again. Will it be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless? You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine. Let your good deeds shine for who? All to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. As Jesus turned to the disciples, he says, listen, while it is still bright, while we can still see, and I understand that it's evening right now, but we can rewind our brain just a little bit ago when the sun was out. And we have to think spiritually. We are getting to the point where the night is coming, right? And he said that, night is coming. And when the night's coming, he's referring to the end. And then that's it. And then that's it. There's no more people getting saved. There's no more people, you know, doing dances and this and that. And when it's the end, and when the night is here, it's over, right? When the end and it's over and he cuts the cord, that's it. It is the end. Think about this. For those of us who've had kids and those who, you know, prepare themselves for bed. When you have, most of us have a bedtime routine, right? Whether it's putting on pajamas. Now, I hope most of us that's brushing your teeth, like that's like number one, right? That you go to bed and you brush your teeth, because brushing your teeth is important, right? But you have a bedtime routine. You have a nighttime routine. Jesus also needs us to have a nighttime routine. The night is coming. What are you doing to prepare for the night? What are we doing to prepare ourselves for the night? What are we doing to prepare our family, our friends? What are we doing to prepare our neighbors? Because the night is coming. We have all learned our nighttime routine. We get ready. We get dressed and ready for night. It is an exciting time to put on the PJs. It's an exciting time to have a pillow fight. It's an exciting time to go to bed with clean breath, right? All of those things that we've learned how to do to take care of ourselves. But spiritually, the night is coming. The night is coming. Jesus said, but I am the light of the world. And he has already referenced himself as he said this, I am the light of the world. And what I love about this, when Jesus first said, I am the light of the world the first time, John 8:12, he spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. When he said this in John chapter 8, now we're reading John chapter 9, but in John chapter 8, when he said this, where he was speaking, there was 16 bowls behind him, or above him, actually. And in these bowls, there was oil, and they were lit on fire. So as he's speaking, he has, if you can imagine, 16 bowls that are lit on fire, and they're all behind him. So as he's describing, and he says this for the very first time to the disciples and all those who are listening, he says, listen, this is the light in the temple. Yes, and it gives you light, so you can walk in the darkness, and you can see the temple, and you can see the beauty, and you can see the splendor. But he says, listen, there's a new light that is here. I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, you will never, ever, ever have to walk in darkness. Because Jesus, describing himself as the light of the world, he is the revelation. He is the bringer of truth. See, that's where a lot of people get confused, misunderstand Jesus when he says, I'm the light of the world, and I am the way, and I am the truth. People who do not want to grasp Jesus, it's because their minds, they're stuck, and they're dark, and there's walls. And it's like being in a prison cell. When he says, I am the light of the world, all those prison cells, the chains and the walls that are inside of our heart and mind, our soul, they start to crumble as he brings revelation. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When you accept me, you're going to see truth for the very first time. Jesus reaches down, and this is such a, the best part, is he spits in the ground and he makes a mud. Now spit in this time was used for medical purposes. They would use spit and saliva and all good things. And I know for me in my life, spit is an important part of who I am today, because I would probably not be married to my beautiful wife if she didn't spit on my forehead, right? She, it is part of our love story that will forever and ever and ever and ever be talked about. And we liked each other, right? We liked, well, at least I know I liked you. I'm not sure if you liked me, but we, I think, liked each other. And one day, if you haven't heard this, we were walking along talking, and I flicked her just gently, just a little flick. And she turned around, and she spit right on my forehead. And I paused and I said, God, this is love. This is awesome. This is the best thing in the whole entire world. I don't even think I wiped it off. I just was like, man, I'm going to save this spit forever. This is the best. Spit has an important part, I know, in my life. As Jesus here, and think about the miracle for this man in this story, as he's, you know, thinking about, he's a beggar and he's blind. There are guys, this is the number one miracle Jesus performed, opening the eyes of the blind. There are guys that he just, you know, you're healed, blah, blah, and instantly their eyes were open. But this guy, he had to, Jesus had to get into the ground and spit and make mud and build and play stuff and then, you know, swipe it all over the man's eyes. He was a part of a messy miracle. It was messy and it was dirty. And he's probably thinking to himself, I wish I was the other guy. I mean, Jesus just barely touched him and he, you know, opened his eyes. But Jesus had to get dirty with me. Do we get to pick the miracles that God wants to do in our life? In this story, I don't think any one of us, and maybe some of us are thinking, Cole, bring on the mud, Jesus. But most of us, if we were blind, and I think if we were blind, most of us would say, whatever it would take, right? Yes, bring it on. But most of us, if we could pick, we would say, Jesus, just touch my eyes. Let them be open. The problem is, you see, as we step back, most of us, we want miracles. We want to pick and choose how he does them. We all want miracles. We all want great things to happen. And it's in the Bible. It's Jesus having faith small as a mustard seed. You can speak to your mouths this, that, and the other, right? But at the same time, God chooses life to grow us. And in that process of growth, there are things that happen along the way. And he does want miracles. He does want great things to happen. But you know what? We don't get to pick and choose. And I don't think this guy in the story, this poor guy, I don't think he got to pick and choose. He just had to accept. Okay, he's spitting, he's making mud, now he's going on my eyes. You know, and I'm sure there's people who are thinking, wow, this is the new Jesus ointment. Man, I can sell that bottle for $10.99. Think what I can do. Think we can take some of the spit, we can take some of this mud that he made right here, I'm going to bottle it up, and I'm going to start selling it. How many of us salespeople, and how many of us people with just, we're mad people, so the numbers start going, oh my gosh, how much money can I make on this stuff? This is awesome. Jesus turns to the man after he spits and wipes it on his eyes and says, now go and wash. You see, this is one of the most important things that a lot of people forget, is God has already provided victory, right? God has already provided victory. God has already provided. He's already provided the next open door. He's already provided the promotion. He's already provided all of these things. And in this story, here's this man, and he has provided healing for this man. He's put mud on his eyes. Yes, that's what I meant. But there was one last thing he had to do. Go and wash. Now, if you had mud wiped all over your face, you'd probably want to go and wash as well, right? But there are times, you see, where it's the obedience factor that's going to bring the miracle to completion. It's that one last thing that God's saying, listen, you are so close, you are right there, but I've been asking you to do this one thing. And soon as you do this, you will see what I'm talking about. You need to go and wash. And maybe for some of us, that's what God's saying. You need to go and wash yourself. I love how at the end of the story, people are looking at the guy and they're like, is that the same guy? Now think about this. I'm sure he had the same clothes on he probably had on every day. I'm sure he was barely changed, right? Which is gross and disgusting. same family, didn't like he changed families. Now that he's got new eyes, it's like, I want a new mom and dad. No, he didn't get a new family. So as they're looking at him, they had to ask, like, wow, what is going on? And see, the thing is, he had an encounter with Jesus. There's something when you encounter Jesus. There's something when you encounter Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, there's something that absolutely happens. There's something that physically changes inside of you. And so people look at you, even though they saw you 5 minutes ago, when you encounter him, they're going to say, why are you different? There's something now different about you. There is something different about you. What happened to this guy? Tonight my title is called School of Ministry, and so if you can grab your mud, and we're going to grab our glasses, and I'm going to explain why. You see, you know, this year, you can go ahead and put your glasses on, we can all look dorky together. Some of you have already started early, thank you. So, I'm not showing you a video, I just wanted something to alter your vision a little bit. Maybe for some of you, you're like seeing clearly for the first time, like, can see, you know, I didn't mean to, but it's red and blue, so this is another story for another day. So if you put on your glasses, you see, this is how many of us see life. For some of us, it's a little blurry. For some of us, our vision just looks a little different. And you know why it looks a little different? Because the world, and because of ourselves, we've allowed these things to blur our vision. And we're not seeing God clearly. We're not seeing him. In this story, there was a blind man for years, and he was blind just for this one moment, where God could heal him, where God could change everything in his life. He was born blind so that God's glory could be revealed. How many people do we know where God is saying, I have this so that my glory could be revealed? But most of us, because we see through these lenses, we're not, and maybe there's fear in these lenses as well, we're afraid to step out, and we're afraid to pray, and maybe we're afraid to say something that we shouldn't. And so we don't, because our vision has been blurred. But when you take your glasses off, how many of us know that we start to see clearly? And the more time you spend with Jesus, this is what happens. Your vision becomes more clear. Jeremiah 29:12 says, in these days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me, this is the most important part of the verse. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me with a little heart. Oh yeah, if you look for me for 10%, 20%, or no. If you look for me wholeheartedly, then you will find me. We have a world searching. We have a world who is lost and desperate and without hope. People who are sick, people who are dying, and they want to know what's going to happen next. The only way, Jesus said, you find me, is when you seek me with all your heart. And if we don't seek him with all of our heart, what happened? We stay with these goggles here. We stay with their 3D glasses. When you seek God with all your heart, how do I do that? What do? You lock yourself in your room and you start praying until you encounter the God of heaven. If you're allowed to drive, get in your car and drive. And don't stop till the car runs out of gas. And then call Joel. Just kidding. But we have to, in 2021, we have to take the steps to see what God wants to do. Because if we're all honest, if we're extremely honest with ourselves, most of us have been seeing life's a little blurry. Through the election, through COVID, through jobs, through pain, through suffering. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. We don't feel like seeking when we're not hearing God. There are so many people who they pray and they say, I want to hear God speak to me. And then they pray like 2 minutes and then they go watch a movie. Or they're going to go play video games. God, I need you to answer me. But then, You know, it's like us guys. Most of us guys get easily distracted. You know, I've been off this week, and I can't tell you how many times we've cleaned the house. Because when you have seven people and a dog in the house, they make messes, right? And so, thanks to our wives and our daughters in the house who start cleaning, and it's always my wife and my daughters who they're doing it. They want to get the job done. But us guys, we like get easily distracted. We start folding or start vacuuming, and then it's like the dog too. He gets easily distracted. He's not doing his cleanup chores either. But we get so easily distracted as Christians and believers. And when we're praying and asking God for a miracle, don't stop. When you want to hear God speak to you in a situation, you don't pray for 30 seconds, God bless this food, oh, can I hear your voice, oh, and then move on. No, you have to keep on praying. You have to keep on seeking until the Bible says your whole, till your words and everything in your heart, mind, and soul, they line up until you're wholeheartedly praying with everything that you have. If you want Him to answer, then pray with all your heart. If you want to hear His voice and see how real it is, then pray with all your heart. If you want to see the reality of just how awesome God is, you have to pray with all of your heart. If you can take out your mud, so our dirt. In life, sometimes what we forget is it's all about in the dirt. You know, as we take off our glasses, my title tonight is called School of Ministry, because we're going to learn how to do ministry like Jesus. We're going to spit in here, and then we're going to pray for each other, and we're going to see what happens. Just kidding. Just kidding. But you see, the thing is, the miracle's in the dirt. And what we don't want to see, what we don't want to touch, is exactly where the miracle is. The place that we don't want to go. The person we don't want to talk to, because they bug us. Life is, you know what it is? It's dirty. Life is muddy. And you can't jump over that wall. You can't get through that wall trying to avoid the dirt. Relationships are dirty sometimes. Relationships are messy sometimes. Relationships can be crazy. And friendships and marriages and church relationships. Sometimes even our own relationship to ourselves, right? And most of us in the room, we like ourselves. We look in the mirror and say, I like you today. Do you like me back? Yes. Will you be my friend today? Yes. Yes or no, right? Most of us in this room, we like ourselves. So I gave you a bag of dirt today. Me and my three younger kids, we dug up our backyard. So this is my Christmas present to you. If I didn't get you anything, can't say I didn't give you anything, right? But the thing is, it's a reminder. The dirt, it's a reminder. Because what you're waiting for, what you're looking for, like the man in the story, I don't think you're looking here. I don't think you're looking in the dirty places of life. You know, for the Pharisees, when Jesus had a conversation with them, and he was really sweet with them, he said, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law? Hypocrites, you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're filthy, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. You are blind Pharisees. First wash the inside of the cup, the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees? Hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurities. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, and today, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of Christians in our world who have become like Pharisees. We were trained that you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. So you have to clean, right? And you need to look good on the outside. But you know what the challenge is, looking good on the outside? Some of us have neglected what God wants to do on the inside. God made man from dirt. When man made a mistake, of course, Adam and Eve, God said to Adam, now you're going to be, the ground will be cursed. You have to go work. And so work, it does feel like a curse at times, right? Sweating and digging and all those things. It's work. But it's interesting that God made Adam from dirt, but it was the dirt that he had to go work with. A lot of people today, they've made machines, they've made gloves, because they don't want to deal with the dirt. And as Christians today, I think for a lot of us, we've learned we don't want to deal with the dirt. It's the dirt that weighs me down. It's the dirt that rubs me the wrong way. And God's saying the whole time, it's the dirt that's going to provide your miracle. Stop avoiding what I want to do for you. Stop avoiding. Because in this story, I guarantee you, the blind man in the story, he's like me. That's not the way I want to get healed. I'd rather stay clean and not have to go take another bath. If you took one bath in the morning, you wouldn't take another bath, right? But he couldn't pick and choose his miracle. He couldn't. For some of us in here, for some of us watching, there's a miracle that's waiting for you, but it's not what you're seeing. It's not what you're hearing, because you haven't got into the dirt. Stand with me, worship team, come on back up. I'm going to close with one more verse, and then we're going to sing our last song together. Such a beautiful verse. It's actually three verses I'm going to read, and then we're going to close. Matthew 5:8 says this, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And if you look at the two words in this scripture, pure and to see. So God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. If you look up pure in the Greek, it means to be clean, clear, pure. And for a lot of people, they read this and they say, I just need to have a pure heart, right? And if we ask Jesus into our heart, the Bible says you're clean already. But if you go on to see what he said, they will see God. To see means to gaze upon, eyes wide open, earnest, but with more continued inspection. So those who have a pure heart, it's not only what Jesus has done for you. Your heart, yes, is clean and pure. You've been washed. You're white as snow. But at the same time, at the end, this is where we miss it most of the time, to see God, to keep your eyes completely wide open with earnest and more continued inspection, meaning to spend more time chasing, to spend more time looking. We all, like Joel said, in 2021, we have New Year's resolutions and we want to start different things and we want to cut out donuts and Coke and we want to, you know, read our Bibles more and we want to do this and we want to do that. And those are all good things. But the number one thing that God wants us to do in 2021, it is to take off the world's goggles. The goggles even of ourself, because life's been fuzzy. And he wants you to see this year all that he has for you. But in order to do that, again, it could make maybe dirty a little bit. It may take some work. It most definitely is going to take some work. Chopping up our hearts. Because for some of us, our hearts are hard. Life's been hard. Life's been rough. Life's been crazy. And so sometimes we don't know how to give God our full heart because our heart is compressed and it's tight and we don't want to do anything with it. It's hard to trust and it's hard to feel and it's hard to let go. The blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Those who keep their eyes wide open, who earnestly, with a deep and mindful inspection of chasing after God. My last verse, Isaiah 43:15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord, who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. And see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Do you not see? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my
ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And there's a place tonight that God wants all of us to get to. He wants all of us to get to. But it may be working through a little dirt. And it may be removing certain glasses that we put on. But he says, I'm about to do something new. And he wants you to see it.